Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochus Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the top of Daf Mem Dalid at the Mishnah. Heviu lefonov meliach betchila. Upas imo. A person is planning to eat, and he's served with salted fish and bread. And a very surprising halacha. Mivorech al hamaliach upoter as apas. You will make the brocha on the maliach, on the fish, a shehakol, and that will exempt the bread. Shapas tfeilolo, because in this case, the bread is subsidiary to the maliach. In other words, the only reason he is eating the bread is because he wants to neutralize or reduce the sharpness or intensity of the taste that the maliach leaves in his mouth. So the bread is tofel, is subsidiary. Zehaklal, the following is the rule. Kol shehu ikur v'imo yitfela, when you have a main food item and together with it a subsidiary food item, one makes the brocha over the main item, and that exempts the subsidiary. The Gemara asks the obvious question, is it possible that you can have a circumstance like this where the maliach is the ikur and the pas is the tfela, where the bread is subsidiary to the fish? Omar Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avira, Omar Rav Ashi, Ba'uichle Peiros Genoiser Shanu. The circumstances behind this case people are eating the fruit of Genoiser, which is a type of fruit. Genoiser, first of all, is a region associated with the Galilee, Lake Tiberias area, where the fruits that grew there were extremely sweet. So in order to offset the extreme sweetness, people would eat something that was salty. But the salty fish were very intensely salty, so they would need to eat bread. There are questions that this particular example raises, and I think that you'll find they're addressed in the Tosfos at the top of the page. So let's take a look together at that Tosfos. It's coming to restore a person's feeling, shenechlash, that became weakened. The person felt bad, mitnei mesikus aperos, because of the extreme sweetness of those fruits. V'hapas shel achrof tofel, the bread that one eats after the maliach is subsidiary. V'eino bo elo b'shul hamaliach, it's only coming because he happens to be eating maliach. Otherwise, he wouldn't be eating the bread. V'im tomar, if you might ask, in this case, then what did this fellow really sit down to eat? What's the real ikur in this story? Peros havi ikur umaliach tofel. Really, the fruits are the ikur, and the salted fish is subsidiary. V'livrich ala peros v'livtakula. Why not just make a brocha on the fruits? Hey, borei priho eitz. And then let that exempt everything else, the fish and the bread. Two possibilities. V'yesh lomar, demairi shelo ochal haperos b'osum amad. Could be that he's not eating the fruits literally at the same time. In other words, he had these fruits and a little while later he had this feeling that he still needed to eat the salty fish. So he, at that separate setup, he then ate the fish. Therefore, the peros bracha, since it wasn't together with the eaten, the peros weren't eaten at the same time, the same setup as the fish were eaten, so the fish will need a separate bracha. Inami, another possibility is b'shal she'ochal peros ginoso lohoy adayin b'liach upas. The lohoyo yodea sheyechlash libo machmas hamasikus. When he was eating the fruits, he didn't know the effect it would have on him, so he didn't bother bringing the fish and the bread to the four. Therefore, the bracha on the fruits would not exempt the maliach. But what you see from this Tosfos, after all is said and done, if you have someone that already had, let's say, peros ginoser experience, and he knew that it's exceptionally sweet, and he knew he would need to have fish to offset that, and he set everything up in front of him, so in fact, the bracha on the fruits would have exempted the rest. Turning back to the Gemara, we have a double underline with a design between them, and on the side under our Noseh heading, you notice that we feature this under the Noseh Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Rabbonim. We're going to see a series of rabbis, and those are the names highlighted. Bekesher LeParos Ginoser. Some, in each case, there'll be a story, some type of connection to these Ginosar fruits. So the first story, Omar Rabbo Bar Barchana. Rabbo Barchana tells us, "Kihavi aslinon basred Reb Yochanan lemechal peres ginosar." When we were following Reb Yochanan to go out and eat peres ginosar, man kitinon le lechol chad v'chad asor asorab. So, when we were a group of 100 following Reb Yochanan, so each one of us would gather 10 fruits. V'chihavino de'asora, and when we were 10 in the party following Reb Yochanan, man kitinon le kochad v'chad meo meo. Each one of us would gather for him 100 fruits. So either way, you have a total of 1,000 peros ginosar. V'chol meo minayu, and every 100 of them have a machzik luhu tsona bar tlosa sovi, would fill the contents of a basket the size of 3 saw, so that if you make the calculation, you'd have 100 fruits equaling 3 saw, so that 1,000 fruits would be 30 saw, and 30 saw happens to be a kor. That's a known dry measure. So, and it's a very large measure with regard to an amount that a person would sit down and eat. In fact, it's a vast amount for a person. And yet, the ochil lehulu kulu, he ate all of these, 1,000 peres ginoso, or as we calculated, a kur worth of fruits. Umishtaba delotoyim ziyuna, and he would swear that he didn't eat any food. The Gemara asks, "Ziyuna sakatach?" He would swear he didn't eat any food. Elo emo mezoina. He would swear that he didn't eat anything satisfying. This story probably represents something of a deeper nature, but whatever the case is, on a superficial level, we're getting a description of how these fruits were very attractive, very desirable, and hence it would create a feeling that of a person wanting more and more and more, to the extent that he would eat a large amount and still want more. That's, as I say, a very superficial approach to this case. The Gemara goes on, Rabbi Avo, Ochil Ada Havishorek Le Duvo Meapuse. He would eat so much of these peros ginosar until a duvo, a fly, would slip off. Can you imagine a fly slipping off of anything? A fly would slip off of his forehead because of the, we'll call the, Rashi says, Tzolas, Mitoch Tzolas Ponim Bisoro Machli, because of the glow of his face of after eating these fruits, it would cause the fly to slip off. Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi havu achli ad nosur mazayu. They would eat so much of these peros ginosar until their hair would fall out. Reb Shimon Lakish have ochel adam morid. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, known as Reish Lakish, would eat so much of this until he would lose his mind. The Omar Lahu, Rabbi Yochanan Ludebe Nasiya, Rabbi Yochanan would inform the house of the Nasi, the leader of the Jewish community, that Reish Lakish lost his mind. Rabbi Meshadin Le Rabbi Yudah Nasiya Balushi Abasrei Umaisi Le Lebesi, and Rabbi Yudah Nasiya would send a group of people, members of the community. Rashi says Uchlusi Bnei Adam. Uchlusi has to do with a population, so it's a, we'll say it means a group of people, and they would escort him home. As we continue in the Gemara, we see triangles, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading, they represent Sidra, Shalki also. There's a series of stories, Shemesaprim Divrei Pela Alma Shehoya Be'eretz Yisrael. You'll see some wondrous things, some things that would appear to be, I don't know if the right term is exaggerated, but vast sized things regarding Eretz Yisrael. So Ki also Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came, he told us, and it's noteworthy that Ki also Rav Dimi and Ki also Rav, and these are Amoroyim that traveled a lot to Eretz Yisrael, and they would travel back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and inform them of what they had heard or seen in Eretz Yisrael. Many times you see Rav Dimi and Ravin reporting halachas in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, because he was the leading Amora at the time of Eretz Yisrael. So he also Rav Dimi Omar Ir Achas Hoysa Lo Yanai HaMelech Bahar HaMelech. Rav Dimi tells us that Yanai HaMelech, Yanai the king, had a city in a location known as the King's Mount. The Shahoyu Motzi Mimeno Mimeno Shishim Ribo Sifli Torahs L'kotzei Teinim Erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos, that they would produce there gather there Shishim Ribo. Shishim is 60, Ribo is 10,000. So Shishim Ribo is 60 times 10,000 is 600,000. Sifle Seifel is a vessel, a container. Sifli Taurus. Taurus is a fish. Rashi says Sifli Taurus Sfeilim Leim Chatichos Dag Chotuch Shikorun Tunina. Cut up fish, pieces of fish known as tunina. Very similar to a sounding, at least to tuna. So they would, in this place, in Har HaMelech, they would produce 600,000 vessels filled with this chopped fish for the Kotzit Seitanim, for the workers that were involved with harvesting the figs of that area. And this was from week to week, from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, showing you the of everything in large quantity. You can imagine the number of workers that were there just for harvesting figs. And this amount was just for 1 week of the fig workers. He also Ravin Omar Elon Echad Hoya Lo Liana Melech Bahar HaMelech. Same place, same name, same place. But here is a tree that he had over there. Shoyu Morida Mimenu Arboyim Sa'o Goizelos Misholosh Brechos Bechodesh. They would take off the trees from bird nests. They would take down 40 saw. That's again, saw we mentioned before, it's a dry measure. So it's 40 saw from gozalos are young birds from that were produced of these 40 saw of young birds were produced mishalosh brechos, three broods. It's like three sets of bird parents b'chodesh per month. He also Rav Yitzchok Amar Ir Achas Hoysu Eretz Yisrael, the Gufnis Shmo. There was this town by the name of Gufnis in Eretz Yisrael. Shehoyu bo Shmoinim Zugos Achim Kohanim Nesuim LeShmoinim Zugos Achoyos Kohanos. There were 80 pairs of Kohanim. 80 pairs meaning 80 sets of brothers, of Kohen brothers, and these brothers A and B married 80 sisters that were also daughters of Kehanim, 80 pairs of sisters. something quite unimaginable, if you will. And Ubatu Rabbana Misura Naharda, and the Rabbana checked out from in all of Bavel, so to speak, from Sura until Naharda. These were two major Torah centers in Bavel. The Lo Ashkehu, and they didn't find Barmi Binsid Rav Chisda, with the exception of the daughters of Rav Chisda, the Havu Nesivan the Rami Barchama Ulamar Ukva Barchama. The two sisters who were the daughters of Rav Chisda, each one was married to one of these two brothers, the sons of Chama, Rami Bar Chama, Mar Ufa Bar Chama, V'afagav the Inhi Havu Kahanto, even though being the daughters of Rav Chisda, they were Kehanois, Inhu Lo Havu Kani. The boys, Rami and Mar Ufa, were not Kehanim. So you can see how amazing the Gufnis story was, when in all of the large Jewish community in Bavel, you couldn't find anything, you could only find one example of two brothers who themselves weren't even Kohanim that married two daughters of a Kohen. Omar Rav, Kol Seudo She'en Bo Melach Eino Seuda. Any meal that doesn't have in it salt is not a meal. Omar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan Kol Seuda She'en Bo Sorif Eino Seuda. Sorif or Shorif is something that we could describe as a soup. Rashi says regarding this word, Tavshil Lach Sheyesh Bo Morok Mo Sorif Chaya, a dish, a food item that is a wet food item that has in it soup. So you can imagine some soup with cooked vegetables in it. That is what Rabbi Chiyo is advocating to be part of a meal. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we will glance at the side of our Gemara under our Nosei heading. Machlokes Tanoim, Mahi Brocha Achrona L'Misha Ochal Te'enim Rimonim V'Anovim. We'll see a Machlokes Tanoim regarding someone who ate these things. We might add also, these are examples of the Shiva Saminim that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. This topic is something that we've seen, this mission, in fact, we've seen quoted earlier in the Masechta, in the Perek, that is. And here we are going to see it at in its original form. Ochal anovim utein v'rimoinim. Person ate, let us say he ate grapes, figs, or pomegranates. Mevorach achreim sholosh brachos to v'rim leo. He is expected to make birchas amazon. V'chachomim omrim brocha achas. A singular bracha. In the parentheses, you see the expression me'ein shalosh, which would be the what's called the al ha'oretz bracha, which is very similar to the maybe better known al hamichya bracha. Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu ochal shelik v'hu mezono. If a person ate shelik, is cooked vegetables, but that is his meal. In other words, he's relying on that to serve as his main meal. Then mevorach olav sholosh brachos. Rabbi Kiva goes quite extreme and says that if it's not really so much the food item itself that you're eating, but it's the mindset you have when eating it, that could generate the need for a birchas hamazon. Hashoysemayim lutzamoy mevorach shakol yeh bedvaro. One who drinks water because of thirst, and the Gemara later will say, to the exclusion of another reason that one might be drinking water, under which circumstance he would not make a bracha, but in this case, if he's drinking the water because of thirst, then he makes a shehakol niyeh b'dvaro. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, borei nefoshos rabos v'chesronon. It would appear that we have a machlokis then in the Mishnah regarding what the bracha over water would be. My taimo de Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel said that for eating the fruits of Israel, one makes a birchas hamazon. The pasuk says, or more accurately, the psukim say, and these are psukim that are found in the Torah, one right after the other. And they read as follows: Eretz Chita Sara v'chulei. The Gemara is appearing to be is just abbreviating the psukim to save space, but that pasuk lists all of the varieties of fruit that Israel was blessed with. Uksiv, and it says over there, it says Eretz Asher lo b'miskinus teichabol lechem. It's a land in which it's not poor, and you will be able to eat bread. And after all of that, it says you will eat, become satisfied, and you will bless the Almighty. This is a reference to Birchas Hamazon, and it's going on everything mentioned in those psukim, including the seven varieties of fruit that Israel was blessed with. The Rabbanon's response, they disagree. They say that Birchas Hamazon will not be recited on the other, non-grain fruits of Eretz Israel, because the word Eretz hipsik ha'inyan. Now, the reason we circled the word Eretz in the Gemara two lines up is to highlight this point, that word serves to block the fruits of Israel that were mentioned beforehand in the Pasuk from the Birchas Hamazon that is mentioned afterwards in the Pasuk. Rav Gamliel Nami Eretz Hifsik Ha'inyan. Well, according to Rav Gamliel, doesn't the word Eretz also block them and make it such that Birchas Hamazon would not apply to all of those fruits? The Gemara answers, Hahu miboyale limute hakoises esachita. The reason the word Eretz is there is not to exclude the other varieties from Birchas Hamazon, but rather to exclude one eating unprocessed wheat or barley from the Birchas Hamazon. But if it's, baked wheat or barley, it's baked into bread, so that certainly will be Birchas Hamazon, as well as the other total of seven varieties that the land of Israel was blessed with. The Rashi, you'll find in the more or less in the middle of the page of the Rashi commentary for Rav Gamliel, Ahu Hafsoka, the hefsik, the blockage, the interruption served by the word Eretz, is Lefrushi Chita Dichti Bekra Kama Osa. It's coming to explain the wheat mentioned in the first pasuk Lim Ute, and to exclude Shim Kosasok Kamois Shehi, that if one chewed it as it is, Ein zu bichlal bracha elim kein asol lechem. When it comes to the wheat, it's not included in Birchas Hamazon unless it is made into bread. But it's not to the exclusion of the other varieties of fruit. The Gemara continues. Omer of Yankiv Aridi, Omer of Chanino, Kol Shehu Mechameshes Haminim. Anything that's made of the five types of grain. Rashi names the five types of grain. You can see them in our Rashi. They are chitim, sorim, koismin, shiboshul, shibun. And Rashi goes on to point out that there are five types of grain, but they are really examples that fit into the two major categories, namely chita and sora. They're forms of chita and sora. Chita, wheat, sora, barley. And Rashi spells it out for you that the kosmin are a type of chita, and the shibol shol and the shipun are a type of saora. So that accounts for the basic chita and saora, and then three examples that fit into one of those two categories. So the Gemara says, anything that's of the five types of grain, b'tchila mevorech olov borei minet mizonos, if you made it into a tafshil, into some type of dish, as opposed to baking it into bread, so it will, the brocha will be borei minet mizonos, and ubesof brocha achas mein shalosh. And at the end, it will have what we call the al hamichya brocha. Omar rabo bar Mori, Omer Reb Shulben Levi, Kol Shehu Mishivas Haminim, anything that's of the fruits that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with, and it's not a grain. In other words, we'll say the other five types mentioned in the Pasuk, besides the Chita and the Seora, so those, the other fruits, the Gefen, the grapes, the pomegranates, the figs, the dates, the olives, those things, b'tchila mevorech borei pri ha'etz, ulebesof brocha achas me'ein shalosh. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic that we're leading into, and on the side we've written the Nosei and Mivneh, the topic heading with structural note, and you'll notice a double underline used, Nuschas Me'ein Gimel, the text of the Me'ein Shalosh Brocha, one, Avur Peres Yitz Yisrael, and two, the Hei Mine Dogon. So, Amar Le Abaye Rav Dimi, my Nihu Brocha Achas Me'ein Shalosh, what is that Brocha that we have referred to so often? And the Gemara is interested in the text of that bracha. Amalei, so he answers, Aperi de Eitz, regarding the fruits from trees, and later there'll be a reference to the Chameshes Haminim with a similar marking, how we use the markings to make it easier to find these references. So regarding Peres Eitz, the text of the bracha is, and it's a long text, it takes a number of lines, you can see we have in quotation marks around 4 lines of Gemara text. So you would say, after having said Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, you would say Al Ho'etz, Ve'al Pri Ho'etz, Ve'al Tenuvas HaSodeh, we are blessing the Almighty for the trees and for the fruit of the trees and for the yield of the fields, Ve'al Eretz Chemdotoi V'Ruchovo, and for the desirable land and the good land and the broad land, Shin Chatal Avoseinu, that you bequeathed unto our forefathers, lechem pirispoel metuva, to eat from its fruits and be satisfied from its goodness. Rachem Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Mecha, an appeal to the Almighty to have mercy on your nation, Ve'al Yerushalayim Yerecha, and on Jerusalem, your city, Ve'al Mikdashecha, Ve'al Mizbachecha, on your Beis HaMikdash and on your altar. V'sivne Yerushalayim Ir Kodshecha b'mher b'yameinu, and a prayer that Yerushalayim shall be rebuilt, and or there's another girsa that is maybe more popular, it's on the side, v'samchinu b'vinyona, enable us to arise, to re-enter it, and cause us happiness, ki ato tov u'meitiv lakol, because you are the one who benefits and is good to everybody. We have a bracketed section. If we skip it for a moment, you see it says Michtam b'may chosim, regarding the peros of Eretz Yisrael. What would the closing bracha be? The sign-off bracha on fruits. And the Gemara goes on to explain Rav Chisda, and then you see Rabbi Yochanan, all after the brackets. In the brackets, there's a reference to what would the text of the Al HaMichya on the greens, because we said Peri the Eitz, we had the text we already read. Now, the Chameshes Haminim, what about for the after bracha text for a grain dish? So, the text is Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkola V'Al Tenuvas HaSodeh. It's the same type of beginning, with the exception of these changed words, Al HaMichya V'Al Kalkala, which is your blessing for the Almighty for sustaining us. The assumption being that grain, like we say that bread is the staff of life, so we, in this text, in this context, we extend it a little bit to grain products. And the rest of the text is basically the same. And then it says in the brackets, V'choisem, that would mean that you say at the end, Baruch Ato Hashem, Al Ha'oretz V'Al HaMichya. That would be the Chasima. So that structurally in this Gemara, what's interesting is that it's opened up, this section of Gemara had opened up with what's the text of the Bracha for the Peros Ha'etz. It did not give you the sign-off. It then asked, what's the text of the grain final Bracha? And it did give you the sign-off. And now, what about the sign-off for the thing we started with? Mechtam b'may chosim goes back to the Peros Ha'etz. What's the sign-off bracha for that? Rav Chisda, Omar, and it's important for us to note that Rav Chisda was in Bavel. And it says, his text is Al Horetz V'Al Peroseha. We're blessing the Almighty for the land and its fruits. This ending of the word has been squiggle underlined. it's a word in the possessive form. It's, we're blessing the Almighty concerning the land of Israel and its fruits. Mind you, this is the recommended text by Rav Chisda, who was sitting in Bovel. Now, Rav Yochanan, who was associated, who lived in Eretz Israel, he says that you say, as your sign of bracha, Omar al ha'aretz bi'al ha'peros. We're blessing the Almighty over the land of Israel and over fruits, but not in the possessive, not its fruits. Little odd, you might say. Here you have the Bovel rabbi talking about a bracha over the land of Israel and its fruits. It's as if it's saying, for you who are in Bovel, have eaten the fruits of the land of Israel, the fruits that grew in Israel. And here's Rabbi Yochanan sitting in Eretz Yisrael, and no recognition, no acknowledgement of having eaten the fruits of the land of Israel. Omar Rav Amram, velo pligi. Rav Amram points out there's no machlokis per se between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Yochanan. Halon v'halahu. Halon, Rav Chisda's bracha, or I'll say Rabbi Yochanan's bracha was lon. Lon is for us. Rav Yochanan's bracha was for us in Bavel, who are not eating the fruits of the land of Israel. It might be the same variety of fruit that the land was blessed with, but it's not the actual fruits that grew in Israel. Behalahu, Rav Chisda's bracha is the text for those who are living in the land of Israel. But once again, that's very nice in that so far as there's no contradiction between these two authorities, because they're referring to two different groups of people, where they're, i.e., where they're located. However, Maskev Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Rav Nachman asks, Inhu achli v'anan mevorchin? Literally, it's they're eating and we're making the bracha. So if you look at Rashi, toward the end of the page, v'anan mevorchinon al perosa eretz Yisrael l'chuda koi, v'anan lo achlinon minayu mevorchim olayu. Namely, we who are in Bavel, which is represented by Rav Chisda, we are making a bracha over the fruits of the land of Israel, and only the land of Israel. Perosel means the fruit that grew in Israel, and we didn't eat from those fruits, and yet we're making a bracha as if we did. Ela epuch. So to solve this particular problem, the Gemara says very simply: switch around the text with the names. Rav Chisda Omar, Rav Chisda was in Bavel, said al ha'aretz v'al ha'peros. Rav Yochanan Omar al ha'aretz v'al peros. Rav Yochanan was living in Eretz Yisrael. He says that you should have the al peros al bracha, because that would be appropriate for you who ate the fruits of that grew in the land of Israel. We continue now at the top of Omid Beis. Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi, Nishum Rabbeinu, Al Habeya v'al mine kufra, over brocha over beya is an egg, or kufra is meat. B'tchila mevorech shakol lebesof borei nefashos rabois. There's a pre-brocha of shakol niyabedvoro, and the closing brocha of borei nefashos rabois v'chesroinon. Avol yarko lo, but for having eaten vegetables, there is no final bracha. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei heading, we have noted shitas shonos al dvorim she'ein tzorech bracha lachrayim. Different shitas regarding items that don't have the need for a final bracha. And you can see with the double underlined avol word, these are the items that are being excluded, whatever follows avol. So Rav Yitzchok excludes vegetables from a need for a final bracha. Rav Yitzchok Omar Afilu Yarka, it means even vegetables will have a final bracha. Avol Mayolo, but not water. Before we go further, just noting now, and there's significance to what we want to say, and that the first shita, number one, is Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi. You notice that his name is Rav Yitzchok with his father's name. It's like there are two names there. And the second shita, Rav Yitzchok, again, it's a name, Rav Yitzchok, it's a different person, but it's mentioned without his father, so it's a singular name. Continuing, number three, Rav Papa Amar Afilu Maya, even after drinking a cup of water, there is a final bracha. Marzutra Ovid Kurbitsu Bravdimi. So Marzutra, who happens, there's no father's name associated with this rabbi, his name is just Marzutra,
he did like the rabbi with two names, like Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi, meaning, well, you'd look back, and he was the first of the Shitas. That means, according to Marzutra, after eating vegetables, there would be no, he wouldn't have recited a final bracha. Rav Simi Bar Ashi, here's a gentleman with two names, his own and his father's names, Ovid Rav Yitzchok. He did like the Shita that has one name, like Rav Yitzchok, which, practically speaking, means that after vegetables, he would make a final bracha. Just after a cup of water, he would not. V'simonech, in order to remember the who says what, remember the following. Chad Kitrei, Utrei Kechad. The Chad is Mar Zutra. He did like the gentleman with the two names, and the gentleman with the two names of Simi Ba'ashi, he did like the Shita that has one name. Omer of Ashi, Ano Zimno Dechi Medkarno Avidno Kekuhu. When I would remember, so I would do like all of them. That means I would practice even like Rav Papa, which means that I would say a final bracha after all of these items, even water. Tanan, a Tanaic source, a Mishnah from Maseches Nida, says, Kol Shiton Bracha L'Achrav, Ton Bracha L'Fonav. If you have an item that you're making a final bracha, then you can rest assured there was a pre-bracha. V'yesh Shiton Bracha L'Fonav, V'ein Ton Bracha L'Achrav. There is something that has a bracha before, but does not have a final bracha. So you ask yourself, you have a Tanaic source, and you have a description of saying a bracha before and no bracha after. Could that be? So as we go over the shitas that we've seen till now, yeah, you could say there are examples of that. Bishlam Rav Yisrael Bar Avdimi, the first of the shitas we saw above, Lafukiyaka. This closing statement, which we dashed underlined, the ain ton bracha le'achrov, that would be a description of vegetables. The word lafuki means to the exclusion of vegetables. With our markings, we've used a volcano shape to highlight the word lafuke, and you'll see that this shape appears a few times in the next few lines. Different opinions as to what is excluded from needing a final bracha. So we have that, and then we have Rav Yitzchok lafuke. According to Rav Yitzchok, this Tanaic source that says ein ton bracha le'achrov will refer to water. According to Rav Papa, who said even on water there is a final bracha, so what's this Tanaic source doing? What has a bracha before and no bracha after? Answer, lafuke mitzvos. To the exclusion of a mitzvah. That means when before you perform a mitzvah, you make a bracha. Upon completion of the mitzvah, no bracha. The Gemara asks, Ulufnei marova the boss of Misalki tfilayhu mevorcheh asher yishon mitzvah sonu lishmor chukov lafuke mai. According to the practice in Israel, when they would remove their tefillin, the Masalki is to remove, after they would remove their tefillin, they would make a bracha. In other words, there is a final bracha for tefillin as well. Of course, before you put on the tefillin, there's an Asher Kidshanu L'Haniach Tefillin bracha. At the end, there is this bracha. So, what would the Tanaic source be excluding? Answer, Lafuke Rechani, to the exclusion of aromas. In other words, we make a bracha beforehand, as we saw in our previous staff. We saw brachas like bore minei besamim, bore atzei besam, bore isvei besamim, but there would be no bracha afterwards. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new topic, and under our Nosei heading, we've written the following short heading, Mazon Ubrius, different food items and health considerations. Our Gemara, Omer of Yanai, Omar Rebbe, Kol Shehu Kebetza, Betza Tova Mimenu. Any food item that has the quantity of a kebetza, of an egg quantity, so an actual egg is better for you, is actually more healthful than any other food item of the same size. Ki Asa Rovin, Omar, when Rovin came, he told us, Tova Be'asa Megulgalta Mishisa Kaisi Sulta. A lot of Aramaic words here. The word Kaisi is a measure. And it's a measure that is more commonly known as a lug. So he says that better Tova Be'asa Megulgalta. Megulgalta, Rashi, it says, Tsluyo Lecha Veraka Shisor Fenoisa. It's a it's a roasted egg, but it's roasted very little time, so that it's still a soft egg, but soft as a result of roasting, as opposed to boiling. Sorfenasah is like the word we had before for soup, soref, or possibly sharef, is to drink something to, or to, in a, more of a slang term, maybe you would say to slop it up. But it's a reference to consuming something that's of a let's say jelly or loose consistency. So an egg prepared like that happens to be extremely helpful. It says it's better than 6 lug of soles. Mishiso kaisi sulta. Sulta is soles. Soles is fine flour. So referring to probably a baked good, measuring that using that amount of flour. Ki also Rav Dimi, the Gemara continues, Omar Tova Be'asa, and now he is more specific and lists 3 different types of egg preparation. Migulgalta Mishisa, an egg. If it's Migulgalta, that was what we just described, this soft roasted, that's better than 6 kaisi of sulta. Matvisa is the same as an egg prepared, also roasting, but hard. Hard roasted egg is better than mi'arba, 4 kaisi of soles. Mivushalta, a boiled egg. Regarding that, kol shuka beitza, beitza tovei menu. Labar mi'bisra. And this expression, kol shuka beitza, beitza tovei menu, Rashi points out, this is what Rav Yanai, he opened up this discussion concerning eggs. So it was this kind of egg that he was referring to, the boiled egg. So that a boiled egg is better than any other food item that has that particular quantity to it than eating. If you have a choice to eat a kibbutz worth of food stuff, you would want to choose eating an egg. Labar mi bisra, except for meat. We can't say that a kibbutz worth of meat is necessarily less of less quality than the egg itself. Rabbi Kiva Omer Afilu Ochal Shelek, and he in the Mishnah said Vehu Mizono Mevorach Olav Gimel Brachos. If a person ate boiled vegetables, but he is considering that his mainstay, he will make Birchas Hamazon as his final bracha. The Gemara asks Umi Iko Midi Dehavu Shelek Mizoni. Is this imaginable that some form of boiled vegetable would be considered his mainstay, his main source of nutrition? Omar Rav Ashi, Bekelach Shekruv Shalu, yes. In the case of the kruv stalk, apparently that's when boiled, it is a very highly nutritious type of food dish that someone would eat. Kelach Shekruv as his, what the Gemara calls mizoni, as his mainstay. Tana Rabbonu, we have a Tanaic source that deals with different food items and their benefits. Tchol, yofel l'shinayim, v'koshel b'nemayim. Tchol is an organ of an animal, often translated, but as you know, and we've mentioned this numerous times in our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, that we hesitate to offer translations for different animals and plants, but at the risk of possible accuracy, here we'll say what's known as a popular translation, and that is the spleen. So that spleen meat, yofel lishinayim, is good for one's teeth, v'koshe livnei b'an, but it is hard for the digestive tract. Kreshin, it's another type, this is a type of vegetable known as karsi, as koshin lishinayim, v'yofel livnei b'an. It's the opposite, it's negative effects for the teeth, but is positive for the digestive tract. We should also mention, before we go too much further, if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll see a number of brief framed sections, phrases that are framed. These are all quotes from this source. The Gemara will elaborate, will touch upon each phrase, either pointing out details or raising questions. So in the meantime, we continue. Call Yerek Chai Moirik, fresh vegetables. Uncooked vegetables, morik, will cause a person's complexion to diminish, to be ruined. The whole cotton maktin, and cotton is a reference to something that hasn't grown to its full size. Maktin will cause diminution. The chol nefesh meshiv es nefesh. The term nefesh is something that is eaten when it's eaten completely. An example is our small fish, where someone will eat the entire little fish, provided that it might be small in size, but it's reached its maximum growth. So it's not a problem of the koton maktin. So anything that you eat complete, whole, meshiv es hanefesh, that restores a person's, literally, it restores his life, but it brings him to a good feeling. The whole korov lenefesh, meshiv es hanefesh, and another example of something that's meshiv es hanefesh is something that's close to life. What does that mean? So in an animal, parts of the animal that are close to its, let's say, its vital organs, that is meshiv es hanefesh. That restores the good feeling. Kruv lemazon. This we saw before in explaining Rabbi Akiva's shita, that kruv is a type of vegetable, but it's also a mazon. It's a sustaining type vegetable. Utradin, another kind of vegetable, lirafua, is of a medicinal nature, medicinal benefit. Oilo labayas shall lefes averis besocho. Lefes is another type of vegetable, and the source says, woe unto the stomach that has lefes passing through it. And as we said, the Gemara will now spend a lot of time, the next number of lines, and you can see all of these little frame sections are really quotes from the source. Omar mar, tchoyl yofel lishinayim, v'koshe levnei me'ayim. The toll, which we suggested might be the spleen, is good for one's teeth, but negative for one's digestive tract. Mai takante, what is the solution? In other words, is there a way to have toll and derive only its benefits and not its shortcomings? So the Gemara answers, nil asay v'nishdei, chew it and then spit it out, then cast it out. So that you will get the teeth benefit and not affect negatively the digestive tract. The creation was the opposite, where it's not good for the teeth, but is good for the digestive tract. Maita kante, what's the solution there? What's the way to get maximum benefit without shortcomings? Lishlakinu the nivleinu, boil it well and then swallow it, so that you'll get the digestive benefits and not affect the teeth, because you're simply swallowing it. Kol yerek chai morik, raw vegetables cause a loss in complexion. Here we see a double underline is used, and they highlight Maimros comments made by Rabbi Yitzchak. So regarding the fresh vegetables causing loss of complexion, Rabbi Yitzchak besuda rishona shel achar hakoza. In other words, a very limited situation where the fresh vegetables are not good, and that's the first meal that one has after he bloodlet. We've seen references in other Gemaras to the meal after bloodletting, and it's supposed to be a very rich meal containing meat and wine. So fresh vegetables are not recommended as a first meal after bloodletting. V'yomar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol ochel yerek kodem arba shos, osur lesaper hemenu. There is two more comments of Rabbi Yitzchak regarding fresh vegetables, and a reference to 4 hours. So if one eats fresh vegetables before the fourth hour of the day, osur lesaper hemenu. It's forbidden. Put it this way, it's forbidden is the literal translation, but it's highly recommended not to converse with him. Osur lesaper hemenu. My taimo, antagonism toward discourse with an individual who eat fresh vegetables before the fourth hour of the day? Mishum recha, because of bad breath. The Omar Yitzchak, Osur the Odom Shi Yoichal Yerek Chai Kodem Arba Shos. This is not referring to the outsider, the friend. This is referring to the person himself. A person himself should not eat fresh vegetables before the fourth hour of the day. We have an incident here that lasts a few number of lines, hence we have a long maisa marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Three rabbonim are assembled. Amemar marzutru v'rav Ashi, havu yasvi, they were seated. Aisum kamayu, they were served. Yerek chai kodem arba shos. fresh vegetables before the fourth hour of the day. Amemar Vervashi Ochol, you find here that Amemar Vashi did partake of them. Umarzutra lo ochal. Marzutra, he abstained. Omru lei mai daitoch. The two others, namely Rav Ashi and Amemar, they asked Marzutra, why are you abstaining? And they continue in a sort of like a rhetorical fashion. They say, why are you abstaining? Because of what Rav Yitzchak said, that one who eats fresh vegetables before the fourth hour of day, so it's also to converse with him. And you're afraid that if you eat the vegetables at this point in the day, so you won't be able to converse with others. That can't be your motivation. Well, we ate them, and you're talking with us. So the reticence to conducting a conversation couldn't be the underlying factor to your non-consumption of the fresh vegetables. In other words, your behavior demonstrates otherwise. So Marzutra answered, I don't hold by both teachings of Rav Yitzchak. I hold by the other teaching of Rav Yitzchak. And this will explain my non-consumption of the fresh vegetables at this time of day. The Omer Rav Yitzchak, Osur L'Odom Shiochal Yorechai Kodem Arba Shos. It's forbidden for the individual. For the individual to eat the fruits, the fresh vegetables before the fourth hour of the day, but not a function conversation with others. Simply, it's apparently some type of healthful recommendation not to eat them, and I want to abide by that. But I don't hold by the other teaching of Rav Yitzchak. Hence, the fact that I'm speaking with you doesn't run counter to something that I personally hold by. Kol Koton Maktin, Omar of Chisdo, Afilu Gadya Bar Zuza. Gadya is a young goat, and even a young goat that's very fat, Bar Zuza means it costs a zuz, which for a young goat, that's a lot of money. However, the problem is that it's cotton, it hasn't grown to maturity, and no matter how rich it may be, or fat and desirable as it may be, don't eat it. It's still Maktin, it'll cause diminution of whoever eats it. Velo amoran el deles bei riva. The objection to eating maktin is only if it hasn't grown a quarter of its full growth. Aval is bei riva, if it's grown 25% or more of its eventual growth, less lamba, then there is no objection. Kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. Omar of papa afilu gildini de bei gili. Nefesh, we said, is something that you eat complete whole. Whole, whole. Something that you eat whole is restores one's nefesh, restores one's good feeling, literally restores his life. Even if it happens to be something very, very small, but that's its full growth. An example of this are these little fish. They're called gildani de bei gili. Rashi mentions gildani bei gili a few lines up in the Rashi. These are very small fish that live amongst reeds in a marsh. They remain small. That's just the nature. That's the size of this particular creature. But eating a young, underdeveloped fish that's small, which eventually becomes a large fish, that would be the problem of koton maktin. The Gemara continues, kol hakorov lenefesh meshiv es anefesh. And we now explain this. Omar of Acho bar Yankov, unka is neck meat. The neck is a part of the animal that's near its heart and its digestive tract. And that's what we mean, that's what the source means when it's korov lenefesh. It's next, it's near, it's a part of the animal that's near its vital organs. So that's good meat. The Gemara continues, Omar li Rava l'sham e. Rava says to his servant, ki maisis li umtsa de bisra, when you go out to get me a portion of meat, a chunk of meat, tarach vaisili mehecha de mikrov lebei baruch, bring that cut of meat that's near where a bracha is recited. This is a reference to the bracha of Shechita. And Shechita, the slaughtering takes place at the neck. So it's a nice way of saying, bring me neck meat. It's at the part of the animal where the bracha over Shechita, when one shechs, so one recites a bracha before the slaughtering, so it's from that area, namely the neck, that I want you to bring me the cut of meat. Kruv l'mazon utredin l'rufua. The Gemara now asks, kruv l'mazon in ufua lo. The source that said that kruv, the type of vegetation, is good as a sustaining, a mainstay type food. And only when it mentions tradin, then is rufua, medicinal value, alluded to. Leaving one to think that kruv doesn't have medicinal value. And hence the Gemara is asking, but that doesn't seem to be true. So kruv, the mazon in or for lo, is kruv only for as a sustaining nutritious item, but not medicinal of Tanya. We have the following Tanaic source. Shisha dvar merapinus achayla michayla rufasun rufua. There are six items that enable a person to improve his health, become better, from a state of sickness, and their refua is considered a genuine refua, and they're solidly healing. And what are they? The Eluhain. And the first one we've dashed on the line. This is the main one for us. The rest we can de-emphasize right now. And the first one is Kruv. And what are the other five? Utreden, Umeisisin, the Keva, the Heres, the Yoseres Hakovei. What we see in this source is that kruv is medicinal. So why beforehand did it say that kruv is lamazon? Elo'ema, kruv af lamazon. Rather, the more accurate presentation of the source before was that kruv is good even as mazon. In other words, it's certainly good it certainly has medicinal qualities, but even as a nutritional mainstay. The source above it said, Oi lo labayas shalefes averes besocho. Woe unto the bias is a euphemism for stomach, literally the house that lefes passes through, that one whose stomach has lefes, the lefes vegetable passing through it. So that from reading the source above, you get the impression that lefes is something that's very negative. Aini, so the Gemara asks, is that so? Ve'omar le Rava l'shamei, Rava instructed his servant, Ki chazis lifta b'shuka, when you notice lefes in the market, lo temo li b'may kachas rifta, don't ask me, well, what are we going to have with our bread? In other words, obviously, if you see lefes, jump on it, and it's a great opportunity. So, under what circumstances then is lefes considered negative? Omar abai, mi bli basa, that's if you're eating lefes without accompanying meat. The Rava Omar Mibli Yain. Rava says it's no good, it's negative if you don't drink wine afterwards. But if you eat the lefes and then drink wine afterwards, you will get maximum benefit. Itmar, and here we have more opinions regarding the lefes and when it is negative. Rav Omar Mibli Basar. Rav will tell you that if you're eating it without meat, Shmuel Omar Mibli Eitzim. Eitzim literally is without wood, but it means that you don't boil it a lot. If you don't boil it a lot, it's negative, but when you boil it a lot, it is positive. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mibli Yayin, as we saw before, without wine afterwards. Amale Rava L'Rav Papa. Sudni. Sudni is a title that he uses for Rav Papa, who was a beer maker, in another Gemara, it was the term Sudni is Sod Noe, the nice secret. Rav Papa was a beer maker, and this is the nickname or the title they used for in reference to him, Sudni. So he says to Rav Papa, Anan Tavrinon Leiva Bisra V'chamra. We break. Tavrinon is break. Break the negative power of the lefes by eating meat and drinking wine. Interesting, this is a combination of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan's approaches. Atun, but you, Delo Nofish Lechu Chamra, you, Rav Popo, don't have a lot of wine. You are beer drinkers. But my Tavrisu law, so how do you neutralize the negative effects of the lefes? Amalei, but Sivi. Well, we do it using Shmuel's Matzivi, or wood. Ki ha devisu Rav Papa, the wife, devisu is the wife of Rav Papa, basur de mevash lala, after she cooks up the lefes, tav lala betamnin ufi parsi aisa. So there's a first and initial cooking that's described here, and then she uses eight tamnin, or eight ufi, or logs, parsaisa. They're large type logs that she uses as fuel for continued cooking of the lefis. So as a result of all of this cooking, that is like that has the same effects as the wine and meat in terms of breaking the power, the negative influence or negative effects of the lefis. Tanu Rabbanan, dag koton muliach pa'omim shu memis, small salted fish could be life threatening. In other words, eating it could be life threatening. And when is that? So there are a number of days mentioned here. Beshiva means if you eat it 7 days after its salting. In other words, it's not always negative, but if you eat it on the seventh day since it's salting, or Beshiva, so it's 17th, Be'esrim Beshiva, or 27th. The Amri Law, another version is Be'esrim Veshlosha, the 23rd day of its salting. Velo amoron ela ben matfi velo matfi. This is said only if it's been like partially roasted. Avol matfi shapir less lamba. But if it's fully roasted, then it's okay. Udalo matfi shapir, and if it's partially roasted, lo amoron el delo shaso basrei shichra. We say that it's negative only if you don't follow it with a cup of beer. You don't drink after it beer. But if after the eating the dag koton, one of these negative days, you happen to drink a cup of beer, less lan ba, then there is nothing to worry about. We saw in the Mishnah regarding the drinking of wine for one's thirst, what bracha would you make? But what we want to focus on right now is the word litzamo. So the Mishnah was telling us that if you're drinking water because of thirst, so then you will make a bracha. Under what circumstances will you not make a bracha? So lafuke mai, what, when not? Omar of Idi, bar ovin, lafuke, leman, dechankese, we're at the top of mem hei, dechankese umsa, to the exclusion of someone who is drinking water to get something dislodged from his throat. Chankese, literally someone strangled. It's a gagging on umtsa, let's say, usually means a piece of meat. But it's a reference to drinking water for non-thirst purposes. The most common example of this would be to get something out of one's throat, so then one will not make a bracha. This would remind one of someone that is drinking some water, let us say, to accompany a swallowing of a pill. He's not drinking the water out of thirst, but for some other reason. Tosis points out that this halacha of, let's say, non-thirst drinking, hence non-bracha, is limited to water. But if, let us say, someone were drinking some wine to get something dislodged from his throat, then he would make a bracha. That is, as we say, that's a subject that's touched upon by the Tosis. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bore Nefoshos Rabois V'chesronon. That was the suggestion for the bracha made over water by Rabbi Tarfon. Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanan Labayev Yamrila l'Rav Yosef Hilchasomai. So Rava is asking either Rava bar Chanan is asking either Abaye or Rav Yosef, what is the halacha? In other words, in our Mishnah, you see what appears to be two opinions regarding what the bracha over water is, either Shakol or Borei Nefashos. Amalei, so he answered, Poke chazi mai amo dabar. Go out and see what the nation, what the people are dabar, are nohig, what their practice is. This is something that appears a couple of places, not that often, but a couple places in Shas, when something is decided by what the practice of the nation is. And you'll find this inevitably when the halacha is the conclusion is vague or is undecided by the Gemara. So in order to settle the matter, we say you can rely on what common practice is, and the, like we'll call it, the collective wisdom then can help to decide the matter. But one should not confuse this method of deciding things in the face of situations where the halacha is clear, where the Gemara has, let's say, a clear maskona and yet for some reason the people don't observe the Gemara's ruling, that is a different situation. To say how exactly to deal with a situation like that, that would require further discussion. But in the cases that we find in the Gemara of Polk Chozi, my Amadabar, Dabar means from word Nohag, or lead, Minhog, my Amadabar, what do people do? What's their practice? This method, you'll find, as far as the Gemara is concerned, is when the Gemara itself doesn't have a clear conclusion on the matter. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.